Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
A former San Antonio police officer who shot a teenager while he sat in his car in a McDonald's parking lot has been arrested on two counts of assault. James Brenand, who was a seven-month rookie officer when the shooting occurred, turned himself in Tuesday and was arrested for two counts of aggravated assault by a public servant for the October 2nd shooting. Police believe he mistook the car for one he was looking for. National Security Communicator John Kirby said there would be consequences for Saudi Arabia as the kingdom moves to cut oil production by 2 million barrels a day, catching the Biden administration unprepared. But it remains to be seen how far Biden is willing to go in showing his displeasure with the Saudis. Mr. Kirby on Tuesday.
The president believes that we should review the bilateral relationship with Saudi Arabia and to take a look to see if that relationship is where it needs to be, and that it is serving our national security interests.
The Justice Department told the Supreme Court on Tuesday not to grant an emergency request from President Trump to review an appeals court decision dealing with classified documents seized from his Florida home because he has no plausible claim of ownership. Trump has claimed the documents were declassified as he was entitled to do so when in office. Justice Clarence Thomas will make the decision without a deadline to do so. NASA's DART spacecraft that intentionally impacted a space rock orbiting a larger space rock was a success in altering its orbit. Before the January 26 impact, the target took 11 hours and 55 minutes to circle its parent asteroid. Scientists had hoped to shave off about 10 minutes, but NASA revealed Tuesday the impact shortened the asteroid's orbit by 32 minutes. Thanks for listening. We are USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
As mainstream media sold the American people a bag of lies about the concocted Steele dossier against President Trump and members of his 2016 campaign, FBI Supervisory Counterintelligence Analyst Brian Auten was the first witness in the trial of Igor Deshenko, the Russian national who served as the primary subsource for Steele's anti-Trump dossier. Court documents show the FBI offered Steele $1 million cash if he could corroborate allegations in the dossier. Auten testified that Steele could not do so. As the midterm elections are less than a month away, another high-profile woman is leaving the Democrat Party.
Former presidential candidate Tulsi Gabbard jumped ship from the Democrat Party on Tuesday, and another former Democrat says he can relate. Dick Morris, a former advisor to Presidents Clinton and Trump, spoke to Newsmax about his exodus from the Democrat Party.
Reagan and Trump and me, for example, all started off as Democrats, and then we shifted. But we didn't shift. The party shifted under our feet.
Meanwhile, the midterm elections are 4 weeks from Tuesday. Some pundits are speculating it will be a red wave, meaning Republicans will walk away with major wins, as many in the Democrat Party try to distance themselves from President Joe Biden and his disastrous policies. In the USA Radio News Midwest Bureau, I'm Katie Lewis.
We are USA Radio News. I'm Lance Pry.
Hey folks, here's great news for active aging seniors. The Kanega Watch, the only medical alert smartwatch with built-in fall detection. Yeah, the Kanega Watch is much different than the other guys. It's a stylish, discreet watch you can wear all the time. Get help through the watch in one of three ways. Your voice, pushing the watch's alert button, or have the fall detection connect you to a U.S.-based 24/7 monitoring center who'll speak to you through your watch and can send help to your GPS location nationwide. And get this, it can do that even if you're not responsive. This is true 24/7 peace of mind for you and those that love you. Order your Kanega watch with a full refund 30-day trial period. Call now, 800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. That's 800-475-6824.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez with you. Great to have you with us, sharing a part of your day. For more info on the show, you got to check out BillMartinezShow.com. You've heard us talking about what's going on in California with Governor Newsom. He signed a bill that now authorizes California's Board of Physicians, Medical Board, to discipline physicians and surgeons who spread misinformation about COVID-19 during patient care. Now, you know as well as I do that the medical community, our government, the WHO, all things influential and just bearing for power, have been all over the map regarding COVID. And a lot of things that we thought about instinctively that we've learned, you know, as kids dealing with infection, that there was just something not so kosher with some of these dictates, especially from the government regarding COVID-19. Well, our next guest, you know, along with what Gavin Newsom has put into play, has been the effect there in her state, where she has been, you know, her license has been suspended because she, based on practical information and the heart of a doctor that takes an oath to do no harm, decided not to follow the party line, but actually do something that would work and would save her patients. She was suspended for fighting COVID with ivermectin. I guess that's the short sentence. Dr. Meryl Ness joins us now. Dr. Ness, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Hey, great to be here.
Wow. What a frustrating story. And yours is one of many. You know, doctors have been sanctioned. You know, we had two doctors down in Imperial Valley, California, that saw over 7,000 patients. And they determined quite early that if they treated COVID with, you know, with supplements, let's say, put it in those terms, with supplements that would fortify one's immunity, that was proving to be very successful. 7,000 patients they documented in their new book. No one went to the hospital. Everybody lived. I guess that's a bad thing as far as the government is concerned, right?
It's remarkable. I mean, this is not a case of stupidity. This is a case of deliberate malfeasance by the government, which tried in many dozens of ways to suppress the use of hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, and a host of other drugs that government scientists at CDC and NIH themselves had shown to be effective in vitro against mm-hmm. COVID.
Right.
So against SARS-CoV-1, I should say, which was the first COVID. We didn't suffer from it here, but It was a big problem in China. It was a problem in Toronto, in South East Asia. It occurred in 2002 and 2003. And so CDC and NIH tested all sorts of drugs to see what would kill it in a test tube. Mm-hmm. And they found over 60 drugs that would kill deadly coronaviruses. And then they suppressed them when the time came. When we needed them, they wouldn't let, they did everything they could to stop patients and doctors from accessing them.
This is more than malfeasance. This is murder.
It's a crime against humanity.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. And so this is all provable that they had suppressed this information that you say goes back to 2002, right?
Correct. Correct. So the CDC published a paper in 2005 and Europeans in 2004 showing that the chloroquine drugs killed SARS-1. And the NIAID under Fauci published a paper, as well as Europeans did another paper in 2014, showing not only did these drugs kill SARS-1, they also killed MERS, which was the Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, another deadly coronavirus that has mostly affected people in the Arabian Peninsula.
So here we have had the drugs. We've had the formula to kill this virus, and all this is set aside. Now, is this a money grab, Dr. Nass? I mean, I know this is yet to be played out. Robert Kennedy Jr. has documented, and, of course, there's been suspicions raised even in Senate hearings with Rand Paul and Dr. Fauci that, it's the old saying, you follow the money. And you see where Dr. Fauci is rewarded and where there's benefit, that seems to be coincidental with the drugs that he supports.
I mean, there's been a huge money grab for the pharmaceutical industry. So we're talking probably $100 or $200 billion for the various vaccines and drugs and remdesivir and monoclonal antibodies. But you're looking at a potentially much, much larger market because you're looking also at the money that has been made and will be made by social media companies, by surveillance companies, by these vaccine passport companies, which are still moving forward. The WHO wants everyone in the world to have a digital ID and an app, presumably for tracking. And so once you look at the value of all of this stuff, you're looking at trillions of dollars, not billions anymore. So it's a lot bigger, actually, than just pharmaceutical profit.
It's like we're in a cattle pen being led to slaughter here, are we not?
Mm-hmm. It must have cost a lot of money to suppress these drugs. If you think how all the health officers, all the heads of state that had to be put into place, so many chess pieces, France, England, the U.S., Spain, Portugal, Germany, all these countries suppressing these drugs at the exact same time, the same way.
Right.
And guess what? As far as the vaccines go, the CDC rolled out these new bivalent boosters on September 1st without any human testing. What was the rush? There's very little COVID in the U.S. now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
On September 1st, same day, they were rolled out for the European Union, Switzerland, Canada, same day.
Wow. This is a cabal, isn't it?
It is.
This is pretty scary stuff.
We don't understand who's part of it exactly. We don't know who's controlling it. But there is international collaboration, coordination, and presumably an international conspiracy.
Yeah, that seems to be quite obvious. Let me ask you something, because the thought came to mind. I'm not a doctor, but just common sense kind of thing, is that here we've been 2 years down the road with this vaccine, with Operation Warp Speed that Donald Trump put into play. Has there been any modification based on the experience, the 2 years of experience that we had, has there been any modification with that original vaccine?
That's this new bivalent booster, which is the first time the COVID vaccines have been changed or adapted to changing mm-hmm. circumstances. And all that was done in the United States and in all these other countries, they all did basically the same thing, is they used the old vaccine. So 50% of the bivalent booster is simply the old vaccine, and 50% is an Omicron version of the old vaccine. So it's a 50-50 messenger RNA mix, supposedly. This is what we're told. We have to believe it, I guess, because it hasn't been tested in humans, so we don't know if it works, it's safe, or if what's in the bottle is what is claimed to be in the bottle.
Well, let's talk a little bit more on the other side of the break. We got more from Dr. Nass after this.
GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.
Stock market have you nervous with massive fluctuations? With the impact of inflation and the upcoming midterm elections, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. But with Vantage Point, you won't have to guess. Text MONEY to 813813 to find out how you can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word MONEY to 813813 and find the consistency and confidence you've been looking for in your trading. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. No more guessing when to get in or out of a trade. Text MONEY to 813813. We'll send you a link to our free live training. Protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting the word DEMO, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and text using automated technology, a pre-recorded voice about offers, or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not conditioned to purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text MONEY to 813813.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
If you're 65 or older and Medicare is your main source of insurance, pay close attention right now and listen for details on how you may save thousands of dollars on your healthcare costs. Did you know that Medicare can pay for things like dental visits, home delivery of drugs, even a gym membership? Call us right now and learn how to unlock all your Medicare benefits. Medicare and supplemental plans that we provide can even offer you drug coverage with zero copays and pay for transportation to your doctors. Medicare plans can offer you wonderful money-saving benefits, but you've got to call now. We'll help you get the most out of your Medicare. Make this free, no-obligation call now. Save a ton of money on your health care costs and get the code to unlock all your earned Medicare benefits. Paid for by Senior Choice Plans. 800-796-3954. 800-796-3954. That's 800-796-3954.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Merrill Nass is a physician and researcher who proved the world's largest anthrax epidemic was due to biological warfare. The Board of Licensure in Medicine for the state of Maine suspended Dr. Nass's license with the bogus excuse of spreading disinformation and misinformation regarding the COVID-19 vaccine and also for prescribing other medications to help COVID-19. Doctor's license that was suspended for fighting COVID with ivermectin. Now, she just recently, I guess the first day of the medical board hearing to end the suspension of her license was held this week. Dr. Nass, tell us your side of the story, how this came down and where you are with this after the first day of the board hearing. I understand that that continues. They didn't wrap everything up and then come with a decision yet, have they?
No. We have more pending. None of the expert witnesses have presented yet, and my own testimony hasn't been completed. But we had a very successful day of hearings yesterday because every point that the board attorney general was trying to make was knocked down. It held no weight. There was no statutory basis for it. People simply hadn't bothered to read the law about telemedicine, about informed consent for patients, et cetera. So they thought they had a case, but never looked up the statute.
Yeah.
It's amusing, but sad. The board members, most of whom were physicians, were happy to take my license away 9 months ago with no patient complaints. And they were very happy again yesterday morning, even though most of the complaints were dropped. The complaints were made by two strangers, actually four strangers, two who were lay people, didn't like what I said on the Internet, and a doctor and a midwife. We didn't like the fact that I treated patients that we shared with ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. And nobody was harmed. Everybody got better. But that was the basis for, removing my license. The reason this is being done is to stop doctors and patients from having choices of what kind of medicine they are going to be allowed to have. The point is, here in California and in many other states, that the government wants to say this is how you treat COVID or this is how you treat asthma or whatever it is, and doctors will have to treat with that one drug or two drugs, and that's it. You have no choice. And patients will not be able to find alternative doctors because they will all have been put out of business by the board. And what the doctors are too foolish to have realized is once this really gets going, there's no need for doctors. You can just punch your symptoms or diagnosis into a computer and it'll spit out a prescription. And the doctors will be gone. The only reason to have a doctor is to give you choice, to look at your own individual condition and figure out what is the best treatment for you. So anyway, that's where we're on now. And it was, this whole thing got started with COVID, and the reason the government was so, and this is state government, most Democrats run state governments, as well as Fed, was they had to pretend that chloroquine, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, and a host of other drugs could not be effective against COVID, because if they were, by statute, you could not roll out an emergency use authorization for a vaccine. And they wanted to have a vaccine. They wanted to inject us with something. Each government that I know of, that's Canada, Australia, the U.S. and the European Union, have bought, each contracted for between 8 and 10 doses per person for their jurisdictions.
Wow.
And this was at the very beginning. This was like the first month or two when the vaccines rolled out. Nobody knew how well they would work or whether they were safe. And governments are making these incredibly expensive contracts for all these doses. Why? Nobody knows why. Why did I want to inject this so often? How did they know the vaccines were going to work so poorly that you would need boosters every few months?
Exactly.
And then a few months down the road, after you've gotten your booster, you become more susceptible to actually getting COVID, which is a condition called negative efficacy. It's likely due to antibody-dependent enhancement of infection, although that hasn't been proven yet. But we've seen that at times for other vaccines. Anyway, our governments have not been working for our public health, and the public health agencies have been working against the people to suppress effective treatments And it's a huge mess. It's a huge mess, and until people wake up, we're not going to be going beyond this.
Well, and as you said, I mean, there was one doctor in particular that brought the question up, saying, look, if we're really sincere about understanding what's going on, you've got COVID-related deaths post-vaccination that occurred, and I think at the time there were like 15,000 deaths, and there'd only been one autopsy.
Right. Well, that was another thing. The government had restricted, had said you can't do autopsies on COVID patients. So there have been almost no autopsies because the autopsies would actually tell us the causes of death. So people who were vaccinated, if they're before 2 weeks after the second dose and they die, they're considered unvaccinated. And so their statistics go down as unvaccinated, and they're usually attributed to a COVID infection when it may be a vaccine-related death.
When you talk about disinformation and misinformation, as we know, Dr. Ness, because even the CDC verified this, and I think they did this in the long term to kind of cover their rear ends, because here they're reporting these you know, grave numbers. I mean, now they're saying approximately 1 million people have died of COVID, but yet 6 months ago the CDC said the actual number is more like 3-4%, which is, you know, really a soft flu flu season, you know, death, lethal number, right? Go ahead.
Well, what CDC said is apart from 3-4%, everybody who died had comorbidities. They had other underlying illnesses. So they didn't, presumably they didn't simply die of COVID alone. They had a combination of pneumonia, COPD, you know, cancer, heart disease.
Obesity, yeah, right.
Yeah. What has also been acknowledged, not necessarily by the CDC, but by many jurisdictions and states, is that people who were deemed to be COVID deaths were actually, they died with COVID and not from COVID. So we're talking about motorcycle accidents, gunshot wounds.
Exactly.
Cancer deaths. If you went to a hospital, everybody got swabbed every few days in the hospital. If one of your swabs tested positive, even if you weren't positive, you were then called a COVID case because the hospital got more money for COVID cases than it did for regular cases. And if you died, the hospital got even an additional amount. So it made sense. And this was what, you know, had been apparently planned because the CDC changed its guidance on how to fill in death certificates and on how to reimburse hospitals and doctors for COVID cases.
Kind of amazing that here they are, you know, claiming you're using and spreading disinformation and misinformation when I understand the denotation of both those words maybe differently than they do, because they seem to use disinformation and misinformation in a very, you know, convenient sort of way that favors their agenda.
Yes. Well, they, you know, my medical board refused to define it. And I think all the other ones have also refused, because how can you define it? You can't. It's it's a boogeyman. It's not a real thing. And, you know, First Amendment lets us say whatever we want. It doesn't have to be 100% accurate. That's what free speech is.
Well, yeah, but if you can't define it, what can they charge you with then?
Exactly. There's no rule or regulation or law against it. So it's a boogeyman. National Surgeon General, you know, wants people reporting on sources of misinformation. So federal government is collecting information. They've asked for snitches. You know, if your doctor is providing misinformation, tell us.
Yes.
And the state boards have asked for it. That's why my board got this information. But nobody knows what it is. It just shows you how easily the American public can turn into, you know, the East German Republic with the Stasi.
Exactly.
Got everybody reporting on everybody else.
Well, lucky you, so to speak, Dr. Ness, that, you know, they picked you. But little did they know that you're a fighter.
And,
And thank God, you know, and I'm sure the rest of the medical community who is supporting your cause is grateful for your courage and your tenacity on this. God bless you. We appreciate it. Look forward to getting an update when things are cleared up.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-459-9156, 800-459-9156, 800-459-9156. That's 800-459-9156. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
President Biden is on a Democrat campaign trail this week looking to raise campaign money. His three-state swing out west this week will reveal the White House's midterm strategy for a president who remains broadly unpopular with very little accomplishments for the American people. It'll be in Vail, Colorado this morning. Wanting to get out of Russia, the Nissan car manufacturing company sold all of its assets in Russia to the Russian government for €1 on Tuesday. The deal cost Nissan roughly $687 million, but the company believes it will not affect their earnings forecast for the fiscal year. The United Nations is reporting Ukraine's biggest nuclear power plant, which is surrounded by Russian troops, has lost all external power needed for vital safety systems for the second time in 5 days. Thanks for listening. I'm Lance Pry. We are USA Radio News.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs that can cause Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Mice searching for sources of food can spread bacteria and disease. Mosquitoes breed in standing water and can transmit illnesses like West Nile virus and Zika virus. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home and can leave behind allergens that trigger asthma attacks. Stinging insects attack in defense of their nests and send more than 500,000 people to the emergency room every year. Household pests are a threat to our health. Learn what you can do to protect your family at pestworld.org.
Is the Independent Health and Lifestyle News Network.
To keep up with today's digital-first consumers, enterprises are embracing digital technologies to address increasing demands. As organizations embark on their modernization journeys, the new IBM Transformation Index, the State of Cloud, found there is a strong correlation between hybrid cloud adoption and progress in digital transformation. In fact, more than 77% of responding organizations have adopted a hybrid cloud approach. 71% of those surveyed think it's difficult to realize the full potential of a digital transformation. Here to break it down, and he's got answers for everybody, is the General Manager and Chief Technology Officer with IBM Cloud Platform, Jason McGee. Jason, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, explain to our audience, what is the hybrid cloud?
Well, as you stated, in the last couple of years, especially coming out of the pandemic, we've seen this kind of massive shift to digital experiences. Customers are expecting to be able to interact with the world on their phones and in a simple digital way. As a result of that, many organizations are embracing a hybrid cloud strategy. What that means is that they're using a mix of their kind of on-premise IT infrastructure, things they own and operate themselves, and one or more public clouds. Maybe a simple real-world example to help people understand is, you know, if you have a car, sometimes you park your car at home, like in your driveway. That's on-premise. That's an environment you own and is located on your property. But sometimes you park it in a public garage with other people, and there's other cars around. That facility is owned and shared by multiple people. That's kind of like a public cloud. With hybrid cloud, you get to use both. That gives you choice, and it gives businesses freedom to accelerate and build new capabilities, modernize their applications, and run things where they need to be run.
Now, what does that do in terms of security? Does it compromise security at all, Jason?
It doesn't compromise security, but it does make security a key attribute that businesses have to think about. You know, how do they secure those environments? Do they have the right skills and partners to help them, you know, leverage that flexible environment in a secure way?
Right. So how are businesses most commonly utilizing cloud technologies to digitally transform?
You know, I think they're most commonly using these technologies to help them accelerate. They're using cloud as a way to deliver those new experiences quickly. If you think about what happened in the last couple of years, you know, experiences like banking and ordering food and travel that might have had an in-person experience had to very quickly produce a digital experience where someone could do that in a self-service way. And they're using cloud as a platform to help them achieve that digital transformation.
So as these companies adopt the hybrid cloud technology, what do they need to know, Jason?
Well, what's really interesting is you know, you said in the beginning, 77% of organizations are adopting hybrid cloud, but less than 25% of them feel like they can manage that hybrid environment holistically. And there's really three things that, you know, they struggle with. One is skills, and having about 69% of those respondents say they're lacking the right skills on their teams to help them leverage this hybrid environment effectively. And partners like IBM with our consulting practice can provide a trusted partner with those skills to help customers get the most out of their cloud environment. Second is security. As you alluded to, poor security is one of the top impediments to achieving benefits. And so being able to have a secure cloud to run on and the right skills is really important to ensure that they have secure applications they're deploying. And then finally, compliance. Many industries like banking and financial services, healthcare, and government applications live in a highly regulated environment. And so having a cloud environment that's tailored for their industry, like at IBM, what we're doing with IBM Cloud for Financial Services, enables customers in those industries to more effectively leverage hybrid cloud.
Well, Jason McGee is an IBM fellow and cloud chief technology officer focused on building strong and enduring technology that benefits clients, partners, and IBM. Jason, as we wrap things up, where can listeners go for more information?
A simple place would be ibm.com/cloud to learn more about how businesses are leveraging hybrid technologies.
Jason McGee, thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
This is the Independent Health and Lifestyle News Network.
Well, in the news these days, we hear so much about wildfires. And, you know, the question is, you know, how do we live with wildfires? Well, we're going to be talking about wildfire preparedness tips and why it's important to contact your insurer to make sure you have the right coverage. Karen Collins is with us. She's the Assistant Vice President at American Property Casualty Insurance Association. Karen, good to have you with us. How are you?
Thanks. I'm doing great. Very happy to be here talking about wildfire.
Well, of course, the issue is preparedness. It's what we do beforehand that counts. I mean, if we're, and we should have learned this by now, you know, through life experience, that, you know, an ounce of prevention can go a long way, right?
It really does. And there's we really boil it down to it. Three top tips that we are stressing that every homeowner take advantage of before the fire hits. Number one, a 5-foot zone. Create a 5-foot ignition resistant zone around your home. Clear off that debris from your roof and gutters and remove all combustible items like vegetation, furniture, or firewood piles from within that first 5 feet of the house, including what you might even store under decks. That is the most important thing, is to create that non-combustible zone to save the home and avoid the loss. But number two, financial preparedness. Update your insurance policy. Construction costs are way up, so we want to make sure you have the right kind and amount of insurance coverage in place should a loss happen. And then number three, home inventories. Create a home inventory using your smartphone by going through and taking video of each room in your home and saving that footage virtually. It's an invaluable resource if you do encounter a loss.
How often, Karen, should we review our insurance policy? Should this be an annual commitment?
as a best practice to review it at least annually, but with the extreme amount of inflation that we're seeing right now, so much is changing that you really don't want to put off that for a year. Homeowners' policies, they renew on an annual basis, but the costs have jumped. We saw a cost rise 44% in just 2 years, and lumber costs are still up over 50% since the start of the pandemic. So you don't want to learn that you were underinsured after a loss happens. Give your insurance company a call. Talk about the limits. Talk about the type of coverage, what you have, if it's replacement cost versus maybe actual cash value, which considers depreciation. Talk about the optional coverage features that might be available to you. And most importantly, make sure your policy reflects the current features of your home. Square footage, finishes. If you did any home remodeling projects during the pandemic, make sure those got added to your policy and reflect that.
Well, this is some great advice for us to follow. I like the 5 foot area, you know, removing all combustible materials around, you know, kind of common sense things, you know, and as you're walking around your home, and you do so anyway, in most cases, at least on a weekly basis, if not a daily basis, you can see, you know, these potential problems around your home. And so this is an excellent idea. Along with trimming trees that, you know, are overhanging the home, plus, you know, removing debris from your roof and gutters, as you say. And this is where your agent can be your best friend as well to make sure that everything is ordered so that your finances are protected, right?
Absolutely. Insurance, we are about mitigating your risk, and the financial protection is important. But if we can help you avoid the loss entirely, That's our goal, to keep families and communities safe. And there is so much you can do within your own control to reduce your risk. We want to break that continuity of fuels around your home, both vertically and horizontally, that creates this pathway for fires to ignite your home. Embers are the most important, and really sealing everything and using those mesh screening over vents and eaves to make sure that embers can't intrude. And then anything else that could act like a wick that brings the fire right to your home. Prevent those from reaching your home. Don't let the fire occur to begin with, and we will then focus on the financial repairs in the event it does. But you can control it, and make sure you engage your neighbors as well, because their risk is your risk. It's a community effort, so get your neighbors involved as well.
Karen Collins, the Assistant Vice President at American Property Casualty Insurance Association. Appreciate your time, Karen, and also your insight here. Where can people go for more information?
We have a lot of great resources at apci.org/wildfire. Again, apci.org/wildfire. All the resources you need on steps to mitigate your home, as well as the home inventory steps and how to also have those conversations with your insurance company for financial preparedness, and also the recovery process. A great resource.
Gave you the last word, Karen. That's great. Thank you very much. Take care. Have a great day.
This is a potter's field. When people can't pay for their funerals, they are buried here. It is a lonely, desolate place, littered with unmarked headstones. No one visits. No one leaves flowers. But it doesn't have to be that way. For as low as $1 a day, you can ensure your family will have the money to pay your funeral expenses. We offer burial insurance plans that pay up to $30,000. Considering the average funeral costs more than $10,000, that's peace of mind for your family. There are no medical exams, your rates won't increase, and your policy cannot be canceled as long as you make your premium payments. Call now to get approved in minutes and ensure your final resting place is more than just a pauper's grave in a potter's field.
800-562-2407. 800-562-2407. 800-562-2407. That's 800-562-2407. Paid for by Final Expense Direct.
Packages start at $29.99 a month with signed agreement. Restrictions apply. Speak to a representative for complete offer details. See Vivint.com for license details. Terms and conditions apply.
Homeowners, if you're looking for the best in home security and smart home technology at a price you can actually afford, we have great news. Now you can get Vivint's award-winning home security systems starting at about $1 a day. U.S. News and World Report has recognized Vivint as the best professionally installed home security system of 2022. And right now, you can get Vivint's home security technology for about $1 a day. Plus, get free professional installation from a licensed technician. Protect your home and loved ones for as low as $1 a day. Call right now for your free home security consultation.
800-584-2518. 800-584-2518. 800-584-2518. That's 800-584-2518.
Do you have the level of health and energy you desire? The Western world's oldest superfood supports energy, mood, elimination of cravings for junk foods or sweets, elimination of pain, detoxification, immunity, muscle building, fat loss, and even has anti-cancer properties. The oldest superfood is cold-sterilized whey protein from grass-pastured cows. Unlike heat-sterilized whey protein powder, cold-sterilized is easy to digest, and for most dairy-intolerant people, they digest it fine. Green Meadow Whey is the only cold-sterilized whey protein powder on the market. Green Meadow Whey is imbued with a life-giving energy that most people can feel in the form of improved energy and mood for 6 or more hours at a time. Unheated whey is nature's most powerful support for glutathione production, so essential to the health of every cell of your body. Let Green Meadow Whey erase your fatigue, fortify your immune system, support your detoxification, support your fat loss and lean muscle development, and lift you to new levels of health. To learn more or order, go to bestwhyprotein.net or call 888-988-3325.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Right here, right now, Bill Martinez.
Back with the America, Bill Martinez here. Good to have you with us. Just about 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Scott Cleland is joining us. He's the executive director of the Restore Us Institute. Scott, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thank you for having me, Bill.
Well, Scott, explain to the audience Restore Us Institute. What are you all about?
We are a nonpartisan research and education nonprofit dedicated to educating the public and the government about Internet unaccountability policy and how it endangers and harms people and how to fix it. So, and our mission is to restore Internet accountability to protect people from online harm.
Now, when you say restore, that suggests that at one point we had some sort of semblance of organization and, may I say, law and order in the Internet. What has happened? Is it just that the wild frontier moved so quickly it got away from us?
No, it's a good question. In 1996, we had an Internet that was operating for a few years. And a few percentage points of Americans were using it, but only 30 minutes a month on average. So, but there were court cases that addressed with the Internet, and they hit a lot of different subjects, and the courts took them. So back then, no one thought the Internet wasn't part subject to the Constitution or to rule of law. But what happened is in 1996, the Telecom Act basically said the Internet was to be unfettered by federal and state regulation. And how that was looked at was Wild West Internet policy or lawless policy. But it became the norm, and we had an absence of government now for 25 years. And it's been reinforced by executive order and by one Supreme Court precedent.
So here you come into play and say, look, we've got to do something about this. We've got to kind of, reel this in and bring it under the law and order you know, a law and order structure that we have here in America, the way America operates, right?
Exactly. For 220 years, America functioned very well and actually exceptionally. And that was the American experiment, essentially, of, you know, government of the people, by the people, for the people. And for 25 years now, in the internet era, we have had essentially, you know, government, by technology for, and of technology and for technology. I mean, it is an upside down world. That's what I call the internet utopian experiment. And it's creating mindless madness out there.
Right. Now, you refer to three chief tyrannies of U.S. internet unaccountability policy. Explain that to our audience, if you would.
Certainly, and I should say that on our site, restoreusinstitute.org, we have a petition, and in that talks about a modern Declaration of Independence. We call ours a Declaration of Independence from Unchecked Technological Tyranny. There are three, as you said, chief tyrannies. And first, it inhumanely prioritizes protecting technology over protecting people. The second, it unjustly grants technology impunity over people. Third, it unfairly empowers technology to control and govern people without any rights, due process, or access to justice. So in people you think about, you know, it's a free and open internet. It's not free. There's no liberty, equality, or justice in anarchy. And for 25 years, five administrations, 13 Congresses, 17 Supreme Court justices have neglected to protect the American people or children online for 25 years.
It's amazing. No wonder it's out of control. And, Scott, basically, our humanity has been reduced to a data bit, hasn't it?
We have been dehumanized, and it's that's one of the 20 tyrannies and grievances we list is, you know, Americans literally are dehumanized online. They're commercial cattle to be bought and sold with impunity by data brokers. They're lab rats that are constantly experimented. They're indentured servants because essentially everything is, is one way. Either terms of use or an end user agreement. So we're second class citizens. And for kids, they're defenseless prey for predators.
Yeah, without a doubt. Scott, isn't it ironic, a nation that has been chomping at the bit and losing its mind from day one of its history over slavery, and here we've exchanged one form of slavery to another, and somehow it's okay. I mean, and maybe the World Economic Forum is right, is that one day we'll own nothing and we like it. We're already being conditioned to do that right now with our own personage.
Yes, and it's really, really bad because I know with your audience, it also has anarchy is amoral and it demoralizes us. And when you look at what's happened to the Christian faith, the church has probably been hurt by this policy more than almost anything in America, and it is hurting everything in America.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this is why they attack the church and people of faith, because people of faith in the church are in the way. And in some cases, the church has acquiesced under the mindset of, you know, why can't we all get along? And so they'll get along to go along, and without even realizing, they're surrendering freedoms and doctrinal issues along the way.
Absolutely. People don't realize that public policy and internet policy here, it is a teaching tool. It is, you know, it lays down what are the priorities, what are the purposes, and, you know, what are the principles. So policy matters. Everybody thinks, oh, it's just law. Policy has to come first and set the big picture, and then you have specific laws for law and order. And at a very high level, what this policy did of having an absence of government online is it took away any morality. So the golden rule doesn't function. Essentially, what they replaced it with implicitly is a rotten rule. Do whatever you want to others. And so it's not a love your neighbor policy anymore. It's a you can harm your neighbor. Go ahead.
Right. Exactly.
Policy.
It's kind of like the clicks justify the means, I guess, huh?
Yes, sir. And but it's much more serious than that, because there's then no right or wrong. Think of this. Have your audience think and say, we now know that the Internet is fully integrated in our life. Everyone does everything everywhere for life, work, and play on the Internet. So you have on one shoulder, you know, the angel that's saying on the offline, you have rule of law, you have a conscience, you should do the right thing. And on the other side is the devil, like they have in the cartoons, and it's whispering in your ear, you can do whatever you want. Go ahead and do that.
Of course.
And so we have just dozens and dozens of terrible, bad Internet problems that are all caused because we've basically changed the default from good to evil, or from right to wrong.
Right. Exactly. It's amazing, Scott, when you think about it, because we were warned. You know, we were told in the Word of God that there would be those days, woe on those days when evil is called good and good is called evil. And here it is, as you're presenting, and we're seeing this loud and clear. And hopefully my audience is following us here, and the light bulbs are turning on to see, wow, what have we got ourselves into? We've been warned about this, that this was going to be, in some sense, the Internet was going to be some sense of a Trojan horse. And, in fact, we're living the reality that it is.
Absolutely. If people want to understand this through Scripture, we you know, in Romans 12:21 through 13:1, people probably know it well. It's, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let everyone be subject to governing authorities, for they were all instituted by God. So, and the scripture you mentioned is in Isaiah as well, and it's very, you know, woe to those who have put good before evil. And so this is very clear that we need to have some government. And there's this big discussion about, oh, we can't let government have any more power here. Well, limited government with the Bill of Rights, of which freedom of religion is first and foremost, you have to have a functioning government that is operating as it was designed under the Constitution. And right now, we have approved anarchy.
Right, exactly. Well, Scott, we've got a couple minutes left here. You say where Internet policy goes, so goes America's future. What can we do?
Well, it is so important. What we are doing is we've realized that until the people get involved in this, nothing's going to happen, because we know for 25 years it's a cycle, and big tech certainly polarizes us to the maximum. And so we need good people to guide good government for the greater good.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yes,
I implore people to go to restoreusinstitute.org. Please sign our petition, the declaration. Please join our movement, because there should be a mindful many here. And please donate. We are a startup. We are trying to do this. And I think you will find us very aligned with what, Bill, what your audience is interested in, and what you talk about every day.
Well, Scott Cleland, you're offering a time-tested solution, as you say, of restoring constitutional authority over the U.S. Internet that can bring more hope and confidence in our futures and put us in our rightful position, that it is humanity that controls technology, not technology over humanity, right?
Absolutely. We know from the image of God, and, you know, technology is an idol. And, you know, essentially we're, you know, loving idols over God, and we have put technology above people and humanity. And it's wrong at the core.
Amen. Scott Cleland, Executive Director of the Restore Us Institute. Check it out, restoreusinstitute.org, for more information. Scott, be blessed. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Are you afraid to go?